This is Jane Radio.
Call Jane Radio 888-410-2102.
Hello, hello, hello. We're back here at Jane Radio. This is Jane Pratt, and I sometimes feel like the luckiest girl in the world. We all are. If we think that we are lucky, then we are lucky. That's the way I feel about it. But I feel supremely lucky right now because I am joined here in the studio by Lawrence Greco, who is life coach and ordained Zen Buddhist priest. I'm going to get a lot from you. And so are you listening going to get a lot from
me. I certainly hope so. It's really nice to be here, Jane.
Thank you for coming. Thank you so much. So Lawrence is going to be really, really open to answering questions that you have here at 888-410-2102 mm-hmm. about stuff that's going on in your lives that you'd like.
Yeah, just anything you want to ask.
Great. I actually have other questions for you.
Sure.
But we have so many callers that
great.
I'm thinking let's take some of them and then I'll get back to myself.
Sure.
Okay. And we're taking your calls here at 888-410-2102 with anything you would like to know. Mm-hmm. I wanted to take Sandy from Illinois on line 3. Sandy, what's up with you, hon?
Hi.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi. Hi, Lawrence. Well, here's my question. And I, you know, I'm a personal fitness trainer. I have my own business.
Mm-hmm.
I've also am a certified life coach. I'm now studying to be an energy freedom technique master.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, my big goal, I'm 57 years old. I would like to make $1 million, and I just can't seem to get to that level.
Mm.
I mean, I don't know what it is that I'm not doing. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I try to read different things about people who have achieved well,
mm-hmm.
you know, try to follow in their footsteps. I listen to motivational tapes. I mean, I
mm-hmm.
do it all. And I'm just spinning my wheels, and I just can't get, and I just want to make $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, would I like to be a multimillionaire? Absolutely. But
you just want one. Out of all those possible millions. I understand.
I'm not a lottery kind of gal. I don't play mm-hmm. the lottery or anything. I mean, I really would love to do it on my own.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this, Sandy. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I'm listening to you.
Well, let me ask you this. So what would it mean? What would it feel like to have $1 million?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you know, I do a lot of visualization on this. What it would mean, I'd be able to pay off my present condo.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be able to buy a condo. Well, I live in Chicago. So
mm-hmm.
I'd be able to buy a condo in Florida for the winters.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just have an easier way of life because it would, I'm not really in debt outside of my mortgage and my car payment.
Mm-hmm.
So it would just lighten up the load.
But what would it feel like emotionally for you?
Oh my God. Emotionally, it would be, I'd be very, happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to use the word happy, but there'd be an excitement to it.
Well, you know, happy, honestly, is what all human beings want to feel. That's the one thing that binds us together is that no one wants to suffer and everyone wants to be happy. And that's what motivates all of us to do everything we do. Even when we look at people who seem to be out of their minds or they're being hurtful to others, their motivation is to be happy and free from suffering.
Uh-huh.
This is the Buddhist me talking now.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
If you're wanting to be happy is never going to happen based on outer circumstances. So
okay.
Having $1 million is not necessarily going to make you happy. So is there another way to make yourself happy?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you said that, Sandy, it did, it sounded to be like, kind of like an arbitrary number, right? Like kind of like, or, and just,
like you could quantify,
like somehow, yeah. Like somehow this number would make me feel would make me happy, would make things all be okay. But I wonder if you got that number, if I think you might feel the excitement that you're talking about, 'cause it's almost like, Yeah, sounds like woohoo.
There are even studies about measuring happiness and the effects of outer circumstances. So like lottery winners, they can be happy for about 2 years. Then the happiness from the lottery winning dissipates.
Fascinating. That's fascinating.
Sometimes having a lot of money can make people's lives worse.
Yeah.
Sometimes people squander the money and end up more in debt than they were before they had the money. So the question is, how do we become happy? How do we get to know ourselves truly? And not base our happiness and our sense of ourselves on outer circumstances.
Know, I have actually found in my life, like I've had times where I've had a lot and times where I've had little. And I've actually been happier myself at the times when I've had little, when I've had, but I've known that I had what I needed. And what we need is not, you know, there's not a whole lot, right, that we actually need.
But you know what? Having money, though, gives you the opportunity to do more things to expand your knowledge or growth.
It could.
So, I mean, I'm pretty much a happy kid, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I would be able to travel more. I wouldn't have to count every penny. It would just, it would loosen up my life.
Yeah, and that's actually right where I was going, and I lost my train of thought, but I was going towards the thing about the times when I've had more. You do feel like there's a little bit there's a sense of relaxation about it, right? There's a lack of worry about certain things, right?
It's nice not to have to worry about bills or money, absolutely.
Yeah.
But what's the downside of having more?
Oh, gosh, there's so many downsides of having more. There's so many additional pressures that come along with it. And it's a burden. It's a weight. The more things you have, and including money, the more you feel, weighted down by it. And the times when I've just had, when I've just had, like, the clothes on my back, been driving in a car that I borrowed from a friend that was bashed in, and I was going to her place to stay with her because I didn't have a place, and I felt free and light and closer to the things that I really care about.
And that's a true kind of freedom.
That's beautiful.
There's an old Buddhist parable about the Buddha told his disciples one day, there was a shepherd who lost his herd of cows, and he was crying over it and so upset. He's like, did you see my cows? I can't find them anywhere. What do I do? And the Buddha looked at his disciples and said, aren't you all lucky that you don't have anything to worry about like that? You don't own anything. Yeah. You don't have to worry like that, man.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a beauty to that.
So I'm not saying people in poverty have it made. Of course not.
But I do think also in general, Sandy, if you kind of let go of those arbitrary goals, then you get what you need.
And you're keeping happiness always in the future, just out of your reach by saying, when I have $1 million, that'll do it.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Which we all tend to do.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, Sandy.
Let's take Christine from Missouri on line 5. You're on with Jane Pratt and Lawrence Greco.
Hi.
Hi, Christine.
How are you?
Good. How can I help you?
Great.
How can we help you?
Okay. I recently had a baby a little over a year ago. And my husband's been moving up in his career, and I've been confronted with the opportunity to move forward in my career and everything, but I've always worked, and I have another child who turns 7 next month, but I'm making the decision to be a stay-at-home mom, and it's kind of scary for me, because I'm so used to working in that security. When you guys were just talking about money, it kind of answered my question a bit there, but...
That's quite an adjustment.
I definitely feel like I'm doing the right thing, but, I just didn't know, because I am Gemini, and I have all these interests, and didn't know where you might, any pointers or...
Well, it sounds like you're a bit anxious over the decision. That's hesitant, a bit anxious. What do you fear might happen as a result of your decision?
I guess the only fear would be that it'll take me longer to build up retirement and, for my future.
And what are the benefits to your decision?
The workforce.
The potential benefits.
My kids to have a much more solid foundation, steady caregiver. someone that cares about them more than anyone else.
So which of those two matter more to you?
Definitely my kids' upbringing.
Sounds like you made a great decision. So don't worry so much. And it's an adjustment. It's not unusual when we enter a new phase of life to feel some sense of anxiety and it's uncertainty and, oh, I'm not working anymore. But it sounds like you made a really good decision for the right reasons.
Okay.
I think that's right. I feel like it's about relaxing into that decision and just trusting that you're making the right choice and not thinking about the what ifs, you know, what if I had done that or what if I had.
And it's not unusual to feel a little uneasy
when
we're making these decisions.
Change.
And that's just part of it, right?
Yeah.
Change always comes with some anxiety or fear of the unknown, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, good luck to you.
Okay. Good luck, honey. All right. Let's take Lynn from Nevada. You're on with Jane Pratt and Lawrence Greco.
Hi.
Hi, Lynn.
I feel like I've always lived a very blessed life. I've been very fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, life just seems so difficult.
Mm.
And it's not necessarily decisions that I've made, but just things that are going on around me. I almost feel like I'm walking under a cloud of death right now.
I'm sorry, a cloud of?
Death.
Death.
Things are dying around me. Mm-hmm. People are dying. Mm-hmm. My animals, I've lost a lot of animals lately, and life is just really hard right now.
I'm sorry to hear that, Lynn. It sounds like you're really going through a difficult time, obviously. What I can tell you is that, you know, you made the analogy, it feels like you're walking under a cloud of death.
Mm-hmm.
And times like these in our lives are like the weather. And we have to remember that just as we go through awful, terrible, painful times, they are temporary. So all things are always changing. And I can't tell you if things will get better tomorrow, but I can tell you that things do have a way of always changing. Mm-hmm. And that as awful as it seems right now, that's not going to be your life. That's not going to be permanent.
Yeah.
But it's hard to understand that when it's happening. So when we're depressed or anxious or going through a painful time, it feels so solid and frozen in time, like it'll never change.
Mm-hmm.
But it will change.
I like the idea that it's like that it is, you described it as a cloud, and that it is like a cloud, but the clouds are constantly moving.
Right.
Right.
What's behind the clouds?
Yeah.
The sun is always shining behind the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our true state.
Mm-hmm.
That gets obscured from the problems we have in life and the difficulties. So it's not about denying the problems that are going on or the painful experiences, but it is trying to at least remember that you can get through it. And if you need any kind of help, please get some help. Talk to friends or a counselor or anyone if it's really difficult for you.
Thank you.
Is that helpful?
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, good luck to you.
Thank you so much for calling. Yeah, it's tough when you're in that state.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult to even see the light.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah.
That's why depression gets so many of us into trouble, or people sometimes go to the extreme of taking their lives because it sometimes feels so much like it's not going to change.
Yeah.
It has depression has a freezing quality to it.
Uh-huh.
It feels permanent, like this is never going to get better. It's hard to imagine feeling happy again.
Yeah.
But it's important that people remember that it is possible to be happy again, and they will be happy again.
I guess one of the nice things about what Lynn was asking was that she was saying, when do you see this changing? So at least she's looking.
That was a positive. That's why I wasn't too worried about Lynn.
Good.
She understood. Yes, exactly. She said when.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah. Let's take Barbara from Oregon.
Oregon.
Okay.
It's like Missouri or Missouri.
Yeah. So Barbara, how do you say it? Because we'll say it the way you say it.
Oregon.
Okay. Oregon it is.
Oregon.
Thanks for calling.
I am a recent widow and just kind of want to know what kind of a direction I'm going in.
I'm sorry to hear that, you know, that this happened recently to you. What's going on for you? Like, what's your life like now?
Well, I did recently start a part-time job, so that kind of helped. But it's been a year and a half since I've been a widow. But, you know, at 57, it's kind of young.
Yeah, that is very young.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sorry you have to go through this right now.
Yeah.
But you know, really just having a part-time job and keeping yourself busy, giving yourself something to do every day is huge. It's a wonderful step.
Correct.
Do you have a support system or family or anyone to talk to?
Yes.
The top two, three?
I have the sorority sisters that really help when I need them.
Wonderful. And what other kinds of things can you do for yourself to help make this transition easier?
Well, I was a sewer and a quilter, but I just can't get...
A what? Say that again. You were a what?
I sewed and I did make quilts.
Make books?
Quilts.
Oh, quilts,
sewed.
I'm sorry. Quilts. Sewing and quilts.
Got
wow.
It.
So you work with your hands.
Right. But I just can't get the gumption or the motivation to do that again.
When you were doing that actively, what did it feel like?
Oh, it was a release, and it was something positive that I did for others, because I always made them and gave them away.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful.
But I just can't.
It's hard to get back to that at this point.
Exactly.
It does sound like it reminds me of what we were talking about before, asking the caller, what do you do that makes you lose track of time? Or what do you do that you really love? Quilting is one of those kinds of, you know, passions or hobbies. So I bet if you could even start with some small project in mind and set a date for yourself or a deadline, if that's helpful, just try it. Something small and manageable that doesn't seem overwhelming. I bet you, you know, working with your hands again could be a huge way of getting through this. Sounds like it was really healing for you when you were doing it. And it's something you're doing for other people too, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I have always been one to make them and give them away.
Can you think of someone who might benefit from a gift, who might like a gift, someone who might be cheered up by it?
Mm-hmm.
Someone you know?
Well, I have a friend that's having another baby, so I always make her something. So I do have kind of a deadline.
Oh, there you go. Well, birth is a deadline.
Yeah, exactly.
Could you commit to yourself to maybe do something for the baby, the coming baby?
Oh, well, I always make something for this baby.
Okay.
So it's like something I need to do. I'm kind of like the foster grandma, you know, for these kids. So, I
will say we don't always feel like doing something, especially when we're down or going through a rough time. But sometimes it has to work in reverse. We can't wait for ourselves to feel like doing something. Like there are days we don't want to go to work.
Yeah.
But then once you are there or doing that thing,
it
works in reverse, and then you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could remember that and give it a try, I bet you it's going to be really helpful for you.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Especially something like that where you're doing something that's helping someone
tactile.
Else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like hands-on, and it's meditative.
Uh-huh.
It's a way of really just focusing yourself, focusing your mind, and forgetting everything else. It's really it's a wonderful practice.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so
much.
Helpful.
Good luck to you.
Let's take Laura from Virginia on line 2.
Hi, Laura.
Hi.
How can we
Hello?
Help you? Yes. Hi, Laura.
We're here.
Hi.
What's
going on? Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I'm struggling right now, and I think part of my problem is acceptance. We're living in an area where we're trying to sell our house, like so many people in this country, and it's not moving, and I want to move to another area where I've lived before and just feel more at home there, and I'm just asking if you see any move coming soon or, you know, trying to deal with a frustrating issue in my life.
No, it's tough when things or life isn't moving along as quickly as we'd like. And then we're really called upon to exercise patience and perseverance and, you know, knowing how tough things are. It's hard. But for your situation, I mean, I'd be curious to hear what Jane has to say as well, as far as, you know, what do we do when life is sort of taking longer than we wanted to?
I know.
I'm just feeling very stagnant, and the more I talk about it with my husband, the more he gets upset. You know, he's like, don't mention it more than twice, and let's just get on with our lives. Mm. And I feel like I'm just waiting. You know, I'm waiting for my, and instead of enjoying or living, because I'm feeling, you know, it's frustrating.
Yeah.
It's something we were talking about with another caller, too. It's like this sense of... of wait, you know, that you can think, oh, if that once that happens, once I move to that area, I'll, you know, things will be.
Or get the $1 million.
Better, or get the $1 million. Yeah. And, you know, I find myself a lot of times, you said that this area that you want to move to is an area that you feel you've lived in before and you feel comfortable in. Right.
Yeah, we've lived there for many, many years, and we're just in this area. Really came back here to sell our house. That was our
okay.
People were supposed to buy it. It fell through.
I see.
So we really came back because we didn't want to leave it empty. It's an expensive home and wanted to, you know, fix it. You know, a home that's empty dies. So we came back. The purpose was to sell it, and it's been over a year.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Something to keep in mind, too, is life is really one big in-between point.
Yeah.
We're always in between something.
Yeah.
So we're born with this nature that always feels like something isn't quite right now. And if I do this or get that, then I'll be happy.
Yeah.
But then we get that thing, and then guess what? We're not so happy. We want something else to make us happy.
Yeah.
And it's a never-ending trap. So again, happiness cannot be dependent on outer circumstances.
Right. So it's about finding happiness in that moment. And
uh-huh. Life is never going to line up perfectly for any of us.
Mm-hmm.
There's always at least one area in all of our lives that isn't going so great.
Uh-huh.
Right?
So focus on
I should know this. I've been in a 12-step program for 23 years.
Oh, good for you.
What's the one? Give me the acceptance to change the things I can.
Yeah, I love that. The serenity prayer.
Can you say that step for us?
I'm going to try to say it, too.
Do you know it?
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. The courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I know I should be preaching to myself.
Work that step.
Yeah, that is beautiful.
Yeah. And get enough. Do something with yourself to break that sense of stagnation. Because, you know, this is your life. Don't miss your life because you're waiting to sell your house. Life is precious. There are people who can't get on a bike and ride around. There are people who can't make a phone call and speak.
Uh-huh.
Right? So I assume you're relatively healthy.
Yeah.
You can breathe. You can walk around. You can drive a car. You're very blessed.
Yeah.
You're right. Well, I needed my little pep talk. Thank you.
Good.
Yay.
There you go.
Focus on the positive.
Life is good.
Yeah, life is good.
Yeah.
It is, actually.
Life is good.
Mm-hmm.
Here
it
we
is.
Are.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Good luck
for
to you.
Calling. Yeah, I do a lot of that. Just focus on the moment. I'm like, I'm sitting here with someone super interesting to talk to. We have these, wonderful Laura and
cool.
wonderful people calling, and it's just just
life. So even when it doesn't look so great, it can be good.
Yeah.
When you see something crazy on the street.
Yeah.
Right. Or on the subway.
I like that.
It's still kind of good.
I find that interesting.
Yeah. You know that movie Life is Beautiful? Did you ever see that Italian movie?
That's an incredible movie. Oh, I should go back and read that. I mean, look at that again. That's a beautiful movie.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take Marissa from California. You are on with Jane Pratt and Lawrence Greco. Let's take Marsha from Massachusetts.
Hi, Marsha.
Hey, Marsha.
Hello.
Hi, Marsha.
Hey, what's going on with you?
Well, I just have a couple of questions. I was recently divorced and put into a situation where I had to, of course, live from paycheck to paycheck, which is okay. But because of the messy divorce, I am very financially strapped, and I'm being taken to court and all kinds of stuff, and people want to garnish my wages. But what I would like for the future is I like to find what my gift is, because everybody has one, but I can't put my finger on what my gift is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stuck in a job in a company I've worked with for 14 years, but I'm in a position that I really don't like doing this job anymore.
Mm.
It gets harder and harder for me to go to work every day. But I just feel like I don't have the enthusiasm to really push myself to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm going to be 56 this year. So.
Let me ask you this. When you have a day off, or if you didn't have to work for money, what would you do every day?
I just like to help people. I like to sit and talk to people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
you like to help them in what way? You like to talk with
solve
them?
Solve their problems.
Help them solve their problems. Well, does that sounds like, are there other areas in life or people with whom you are doing that now? Or have you throughout your life?
Could you repeat that?
I'm sorry. Have there been people throughout your life that you feel you've helped by talking with them?
Absolutely.
So that sounds like that's your gift.
And people always seem to be drawn to me and say, I don't know why I'm telling you this.
They just come to you naturally with their problems, right?
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like, I mean, that to me is a gift. I mean, that's what got me into doing what I'm doing. So I love to talk with people and I love to help people.
Mm-hmm.
So the key is, how can you maybe make use of that somehow?
Right.
Perhaps parlay that into some kind of career in the future.
So I know I need to go back to school. Mm-hmm.
Of some kind, or even if it means going to be a life coach. Right. Maybe not going for a CSW or a master's in social work, but perhaps being a life coach that can work with people and help them.
You know, I'm going to have to say we have to go because we're at the end of the show now. So that's a good place to go get more, because I know there are a lot of you who wanted more from him today.
Sorry we couldn't talk to you all.
I know. Thank you so much
you.
For
being
here. It's wonderful. And sadly, I won't be here for 2 weeks, they're telling me. I'm off for 2 weeks? Labor Day? I'm gone somewhere. Oh, gosh. That's right.
Tyler said you're going somewhere.
Yes, I am. So don't think that I'm not coming back to you, because I am. Just off for 2 weeks, and then I'll be back and live with you on September 17th. And I can't thank you enough for being here. Lawrence Greco.
Oh, it was a pleasure, really.
What a pleasure.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm not going to get to go through what I learned today on Jane Radio, so go to exojane.com and you'll see it there. And lots of love.
Sirius XM stars.
Yes.
Sexy.
So beautiful.
Smart.
Very, very cool.
Sassy.
That's my opinion.
And you asked for it.
Sirius XM 107.